Healthcare has a history of blaming weight as some type of moral failing on the patient. Well, you deserve a different and better approach, and that's what you'll get with Mochi. Mochi is a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking medication-based weight loss treatment with board-certified doctors and dietitians to help them determine the best treatment options to accomplish weight loss. Their program is completely virtual, meaning you can access their services anywhere in the United States. The folks at Mochi are dedicated to providing holistic, patient-centered care that prioritizes overall well-being. Their goal is transforming how weight management is approached. They listen, and their mission is to make their patients feel heard and understood. They work alongside their patients towards their health goals without shame or blame. They aim to make comprehensive obesity care affordable and accessible for everyone, regardless of insurance coverage. At Mochi, they believe in a weight management medicine program that's personalized to you. Science-backed medications, including GLP-1s like Ozempic, Mounjaro, and Zepbound, are just one tool in their toolbox. They also connect you with professionals to discuss other evidence-based weight loss strategies like licensed registered dietitians and MDs who are board certified in obesity medicine. Get started today at joinmochi.com and you can use the code Dr. Nicole to receive $40 off. October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month, and in this episode, you're going to learn about some excellent resources for pregnancy and infant loss from Bernice Queensberry, the founder of Chasing the Rainbows. Welcome to the All About Pregnancy and Birth podcast. If you're having a baby in the hospital, you are giving birth in a system that too often takes away power from women over what happens in their own bodies. I'm Dr. Nicole Calloway Rankins, a practicing board-certified OBGYN who's had the privilege of helping well over 1,000 babies into this world. I've been a doctor for over 20 years, and I'm here to help you take back your power, advocate for yourself, and have the beautiful pregnancy and birth that you deserve. This podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not a substitute for medical advice. Check out the full disclaimer at drnicolerankins.com/disclaimer. Now let's get to it. Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. This is episode number 277, whether it is your first time listening or you have listened before. I am so grateful that you're spending some time with me today. In honor of October being Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month, in this episode, we have secondary infertility and baby loss survivor Bernice Queensberry. Bernice has repurposed her pain by starting a national nonprofit called Chasing the Rainbows that offers trauma-informed, free, yes, completely free, support services uniting all infertility, pregnancy loss, and infant loss survivors. Losing her infant daughter in her arms and leaving the hospital empty-armed, along with her pregnancy after loss with her rainbow baby, is what drove Bernice to leave her thriving insurance brokerage career to start Chasing the Rainbows in September of 2022. Their free support services include virtual support groups, peer mentors, therapy, care packages, resources for the entire family, and more. We have an incredibly informative conversation about the statistics surrounding pregnancy and infant loss, what that grief journey may look like for someone who experiences a loss, things you can do to support someone who's had a pregnancy and infant loss, as well as things you absolutely should not do when someone has a pregnancy and infant loss. This is an episode that I hope you never need, but if you do, or you know someone who might need it, then it's here with all of these amazing resources to help you. So, without further ado, let's get into the conversation with Bernice, the founder of Chasing the Rainbows. so much, Bernice, for agreeing to come onto the podcast. I am really so excited that you reached out, particularly during this month of October, which is, you know, pregnancy and infant loss awareness month. I don't know if I said that right. You can correct me, but the work that you do is just really so important. So thank you for coming onto the podcast.
Well, I can't thank you enough, you know, Nicole, for having me. And, you know, when I did reach out, I just love everything that you're doing, the awareness that you're bringing in the community. And, you know, it really is something about sharing and bringing awareness around different things with maternal health, women's health, and it just means so much. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So why don't you start off by telling us a bit about yourself and your work and your family, if you'd like.
Yes, absolutely. I'm Bernice. I'm born and raised right outside of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. We have four children. My husband and I met later in life, and I am the founder and CEO of a national 501c3 nonprofit called Chasing the Rainbows. Mm-hmm. And prior to founding Chasing the Rainbows in September of 2022, I was a large commercial insurance broker with a lot of large companies.
Okay.
And so, yeah, with that experience in sales and marketing, It kind of has helped me to, you know, really dive into Chasing the Rainbows And create it what it is.
Okay.
Outside of the family and work life, I love cooking. Uh-huh. And running is my form of meditation.
Okay.
So I love to, yeah, be outdoors, enjoy some jogging.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So what led you to go from being an insurance broker to creating, this is a huge switch, to creating a nonprofit and starting Chasing the Rainbows? Tell us about that evolution.
Yeah, absolutely, Nicole. Not ever something I saw myself doing or wanting to do, because we, you know, getting into why. But right, like, who walks away from a thriving, you know, insurance career where you're building a book of business and you just turn it in and things like that. But in all reality, you know, my husband and I went through some reproductive challenges.
Okay.
Like I said, we met later in life. I had another son to a previous relationship. We were both never married. When we did get married, we decided, you know, we wanted to have more kids. Well, since my son and in my beginning adulthood, I dealt with a lot of cysts and fibroids, coming to find out I had PCOS and endometriosis.
Okay.
So I had to have some corrective surgeries just to try to get pregnant. And it took us about 2 years of trying. And then we were able to get pregnant with Brooke. And at 10 weeks pregnant, we ended up, I started cramping. I had blood coming out. So I went to the hospitals. Into the hospital, and they checked me, and it could have been a miscarriage or placenta implanting. They weren't too sure at that time because it was very early in the pregnancy. They basically sent me on my way. Everything looked great. We still had Brooke in there. We didn't find out till later that it was a miscarriage, diving into, you know, looking into it further. But regardless, then went on to have a healthy pregnancy. And at 27 weeks, I noticed a quarter size of old blood that came out. And so I went to my doctors. They sent me for an ultrasound. Everything looked great. They sent me home, said I could cancel my next week's ultrasound, but I wanted to keep it just to get pictures because, you know, during emergencies, they don't give you any.
Right.
So my husband and I went in, and they told me that there was no fluid anywhere and that they didn't know what was happening. They didn't know if it was her kidneys not producing fluid or if it was me leaking somewhere. Come to find out, I was 27 weeks and 5 days. They wanted to at least wait till 28 weeks to deliver her, but they were hoping for 36 and I could just be on bed rest in the hospital. It ended after 2 days. Her heart rate just kept tanking. So they knew something was going on in there. So we went in for a C-section, and she was born healthy and thriving. At 28 weeks, there was nothing wrong with her. She looked beautiful, completely fine. But come to find out that, you know, everybody has old blood behind their placenta, but mine was eroding my placenta, which happens in less than 1% of people. So when they're pulling out everything, it was just like in pieces. So I was open for a while. And, you know, she was growing and thriving in the NICU for 5.5 weeks. And then, you know, the day before we got the worst phone call of our life, we were told that, you know, she was going to be going home in about a week or two. You know, she was growing. She was over 5 pounds. She was looking great. March 16th of 2021, we got a phone call at 4 a.m. saying that she's throwing up breast milk and we needed to come into the hospital because her belly got hard and she's just started to look gray and things like that. We get in, and after 6 hours of just watching her like start to digress worse and worse, she ended up crashing and then ultimately dying in my arms.
Oh my
and, you know, yeah, it's just, you know, after that experience, Nicole, as a parent, as a, you know, person, and miscarriage, stillbirth, infant loss, all of it is such, so quiet mm-hmm. and isolating and lonely, really, journey mm-hmm. when you're first on it. Mm-hmm. So walking out of the hospital that day without our daughter and thinking that, you know, the worst part of that journey was supposed to be me leaving the hospital without her in the NICU and then taking her home. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't that. And so leaving that day, they gave me a couple resources, like here's a once a month support group, here's a once a week, you know, here's this, that. It was really hard to keep a calendar of everything right. that was going on or like what I had access to because there wasn't very much.
Right.
And then from there called, you know, 14 trauma therapists saying, if you don't accept my private insurance, I can pay out of pocket your $250, $500 fee, whatever it is.
Right.
Please call me back. And I couldn't get a call back. And then we became pregnant after losing Brooke with our rainbow baby. And we ended up at Johns Hopkins. And it was interesting when we were there, just realizing too, still the lack of services that were, you know, mm-hmm. happening in 2022. And especially for pregnancy after loss, because that's all, you know, you're reliving all your triggers and trauma all over
sure.
again.
Sure.
So, you know, I was fearful something was wrong because I didn't notice there wasn't really anything wrong with Brooke and, you know, right. her situation.
Right.
So that's how in September of 2022, then I founded Chasing the Rainbows, and it really started out in Pennsylvania. And from there, within the right after the first year, we became nationwide. And we offer, you know, a bunch of various services, daily support services, but it really was because of
right.
understanding the traumatic loss of what infant loss, pregnancy loss, any kind of baby loss is,
right.
looks like. Just really wanting to support, you know,
right.
and have that daily release and outlet for those that are struggling to go to
sure.
And get the comfort and support that they need and seek.
Wow. I mean, my mouth was open just hearing this story. It's just such a challenging story. I mean, yes, there are challenges with 27, 28 weekers, but most often they survive.
I know. So, exactly.
And then just being told right before that and then everything happening so quickly, I can only imagine how overwhelming that is. I mean, our first daughter was in the NICU for a month, but, you know, she, well, she's about to be 17, so she's
fine.
So,
yeah. Oh, wow. 17.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, but I just can't. Yeah. It's already an anxiety provoking time.
It is.
Anyway, and then you're at that point, you're in this, you're done with your postpartum. Like you're not going back to your OB.
Right.
And then the NICU is like, well, here you go. We're not
yeah.
dealing anything with you anymore because your baby's not here. So
exactly.
That's just a really challenging
right.
time.
And you know, my yeah. leave was cut.
Mm-hmm.
I was cleared medically at 6 weeks. I wanted to be cleared medically too. Mm-hmm. So that if, because we thought that she was going to be in the NICU for another 2 or 3 weeks. So right. I didn't want to use all of my maternity yep. leave while she was in the NICU. You know, you have to make yeah. those decisions that yeah. you don't think to make. And they're
absolutely.
Literally consuming you.
Right.
Only to come to find out then once she passed, they said, yeah, your leave's cut now. You're medically cleared. You have to return to work in 3 days. And it's one of those things that it's like, wow, like I literally just lost my daughter in my arms. How do you even bounce back from something like that and return to reading contracts or, you know,
right.
doing things?
Right.
Because your whole world shattered.
And completely.
Society doesn't really understand, mm-hmm. you know, baby loss unless you've been through it or you service,
mm-hmm.
You know, in that world and just the trauma of it all
sure.
and everything around
sure.
it, all the events.
Sure. So how did it, I'm always in admiration of
yeah.
people who take such a challenging thing. And what made you take that step to say, I'm going to now start this organization to help others?
Oh my goodness. Well, thanks for saying that. Mm-hmm. I guess it was for me, Nicole, just I needed to repurpose my pain.
Mm.
And I had the support of a lot of people behind me. I kept reaching out to baby loss survivors to talk to them about, you know, what they went through and what they've been through, you know, ones that were years out from their loss, but that
right.
I remembered, or people that others would connect me with, like, hey, I have a sister, you know, who went through this loss or,
mm-hmm.
and those kind of things. And then realizing how many people actually go through these losses
mm-hmm.
every day,
mm-hmm.
like, why aren't we all uniting?
Mm-hmm.
And I reached out to a couple nonprofits when we were in the NICU for support and things like that, because I really needed like a support group or a community of people
right.
who understood, you know, my marathon holds that I was doing for 12 hours.
Sure.
And then also like hearing the beeps and alarms going off all the time and like
mm-hmm.
just fearing for her life every day
mm-hmm.
and having those around you. And I said to myself, you know, it just really needs to be that community
right.
Where anybody can come wherever they need to, whenever they need to, and get the help that they need.
Gotcha.
And it really spearheaded that effort just from seeing the lack of the resources in the community.
Yeah. Ladies, let's talk. Did you know that women's peak reproductive years are between the late teens and late 20s? Some research indicates that peak fertility among American women is age 22 with an ideal first pregnancy at age 23. Well, that just ain't realistic with most people's timelines. There are a lot of reasons why you wait to start a family. That's where Ritual comes in. Their 3-in-1 fertility support was designed in partnership with an OBGYN and a fertility specialist, and it uses clinically studied ingredients and clinically studied dosages to support conception outcomes. As an OBGYN, I trust Ritual products because they are rigorously third-party tested for heavy metals, allergens, and microbes for safety during preconception and pregnancy. Their fertility support is the first 3-in-1 drink mix formulated with clinically studied ingredients to support conception outcomes. It includes myo-inositol, which helps support egg health, promotes normal ovulation cycles, and helps support healthy hormone levels. NAC provides antioxidant support and helps support ovarian health. And CoQ10 helps support follicular health and cellular energy production. Listen, I did my own research, and these ingredients really are proven to help with fertility. So bring the fertility science back to your bedroom with 3-in-1 fertility support from Ritual. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/Dr. Nicole. That's ritual.com/Dr. Nicole for 25% off. So let's get into a little bit about pregnancy and infant loss. And then, of course, I want to go through the different services and things that Chasing the Rainbow offers. So let's just start with some numbers, because I don't know that people realize how common this can be. How common is pregnancy and infant loss?
Yeah, I know. And until you become the statistic, do you really even pay attention to it? Right. Or unless you're impacted by it, by another family member or friend. Mm-hmm. But right, you know, it happens, you know, miscarriage specifically, 1 in 4. Mm-hmm. That's 1 million people in the United States a year who are going through baby loss, and that's up to 20 weeks. And then, you know, stillbirth, and yeah, Nicole, you can, you know, talk to that. And stillbirth, 24,000 mm-hmm. babies die a year, you know, that are full term or close to.
Right.
And then also infant loss is 21,000. So when you lump them all together, you know, you're looking at 1 in 4 at least that are going through this. If you include infertility in that, it's really like 1 in 3 that are dealing with reproductive trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for putting numbers to those contexts.
Yeah.
That, you know, that context around numbers, because I think sometimes people hear like, oh, it's less than 1%. And then although, you know, when you look at overall,
right,
it may not be that percentage. That percentage may be low, but it still adds up to a lot of people.
Yeah,
I mean, every day this is happening multiple times a day, and we're not trying to scare people. We just want people to know that it happens, and we need to bring it out of the shadows.
Yes, and it's educating to advocate for ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, like, I didn't understand loss either until we started going through, because you're not educated on that. You think trying to get pregnant equals getting pregnant equals child since you were little, and when infertility happens and, you know, losses and things like that, it's so shocking, because nobody talked about it in generations before us. Yeah. And now we're finally vocalizing it and really bringing it out and about, as we should, just to know that you can have the support that you need.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. So what in your experience have you found? And I know that this can vary, but what are some feelings, or what does that grief journey look like after someone experiences a loss?
Yeah, it's really interesting, Nicole. I learned a lot through the process. And I think because I wanted to educate myself with different professionals, trauma therapists, our director of services is a trauma therapist. So understanding that the grief journey, you know, the shock and numbness could be the first phase that someone experiences, and like the searching and yearning, and like the disorganization and despair, and then the reorganization, rebuilding phase. And I think just like really understanding that was huge for me, because those feelings that I was going through with the anxiety, the confusion, the sadness, and realizing why my arms ached, you know, because I was really just wanting my baby and to, you know, hold her and have her, and that happening. And I think also understanding that the beginning phases, over time, you will grow larger than your grief. Mm. And it won't be that overwhelming, you know, you're just getting drug and going under the current and keep, you know, getting hit by the waves.
Right.
And that it's not going to be like that forever, and that you'll be able to find ways to honor your baby, mm-hmm. You know, carry on their legacy, or, you know, do different things that you need to do. But it's not going to be like that forever. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's really important for people to hear, especially the piece about you can honor your baby and still continue to live your life.
Yes.
Because I wonder if there's some element of like, oh, if I'm happy, does that mean I'm not sad because I lost my baby? But you can do both.
Oh my goodness, Nicole. It's so interesting that you're saying this, mm-hmm. because we just put out a social media marketing thing that we uh-huh. made. And it was about living in that duality, the coexisting of things. And I think that was one of the hardest things as a baby loss survivor to do, mm-hmm. is learn how to still live a life worth living and happy and joyous and free when, you know, you're grieving and feeling this hurt, devastation, yep. shock,
yep.
just everything all at once. Mm-hmm. And how those come together and you can continue to move forward because you'll never move on.
Yeah.
That was one of the hardest things. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So let's talk about, I want to go through each one of the resources a little bit about what the resources are that you offer and why you offer them. Cause I feel like you're very intentional about the things that you're providing to serve different needs. So we're going to get all into it. So Chasing the Rainbows offers multiple different things. Let's start with the first one, which is support groups. So tell us about the support groups.
Yes. So all of our services, first off, are daily. They're trauma-informed. So all of our volunteers are trauma-informed trained.
Oh, can you and tell us what that means? Because I don't think a lot of people know what trauma-informed means.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
so please. You go through a series of trainings that actually explains what trauma is, even though we lived it and everything like that. Mm-hmm. It really dives into how to handle patients or people who have gone through trauma, and also basically not re-traumatizing them, mm-hmm. and being able to provide the support and services the way that they need it. So making it really about them and making sure that we're being aware of when someone's in crisis, when, you know, someone needs extra support, and making sure that we're connecting them when needed.
Gotcha.
So that's very important because these are traumatic losses. So we want to make sure that we are helping and not hurting.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it's extremely important. Yeah. Our support groups, we run 3 a day. So morning, afternoon, and evening. And then right now, 2 days, we have 4 groups. And the groups vary from primary infertility, secondary infertility, and trying to conceive after loss, uh-huh. pregnancy and infant loss, and then pregnancy after loss.
Okay.
And we run right now 17 support groups a week.
Wow. That is impressive. Yeah.
Thank you. And it's all about their schedules, right? Because uh-huh. we don't want to say to them, you have to attend 6 weeks of support groups and you have to attend this many.
Right.
No, it's not about that. Everybody's so different in uh-huh. their grief journey and trauma journey. So we just want to make sure that if they need a support group, they can hop right in. It's happening at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time or 12 their time, whatever it looks like, mm-hmm. or evening, and just get that support that they need when they need it.
Right. I love that. I love that. So what about a peer mentor? What is that?
Yeah. So also, you know, they're trauma-informed trained peers with similar lived experience. And we want to partner them or pair them with someone who is going through the same experience that they are. So let's mm-hmm. say they're a primary infertility survivor. They've had repetitive pregnancy losses. And we want to make sure that we partner them with someone who is years out from their losses, mm-hmm. Who is trained. And they then do daily check-ins with them to see how they're doing. So they'll either text them, call them, email them. It's really based on how they want it. But it's just letting them know that someone's here and thinking of you.
Sure.
So when the questions come up, when they return to work, you know, how many kids do I have when I meet someone new and they're asking me those questions?
Right.
Or how do I handle the holidays? Or what do you do to remember your baby? And it's just having someone to talk to and to really form your own way, but hearing from others that like, you're not the only one that's struggling with this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can see how that can be very, very helpful.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you definitely try to match people who've had similar circumstances.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Someone who's childless going through primary infertility is someone different who has, you know, other children going, and it's just dealing with different experiences.
Right.
It's all the same feelings though.
Yeah. So what about individual trauma therapy.
Yeah. So we were very excited about this. About a year ago, we partnered with a center here, and they do it for all of our survivors in all 50 states. Mm-hmm. We do trauma therapy. And our director of programs now, Tony, is a trauma therapist, uh-huh. and we partner with others where we handle the trauma therapy for them. So they don't have to pay out of pocket. They can be seen within 2 weeks. So we get them in immediately. We don't want them to wait.
Right.
But it's just great because to be in a professional setting, in addition to having a peer mentor or going to support group, it's uh-huh. just that added layer. Some people like the one-on-one counseling. Sure. So we want to make sure that we're giving them that too.
Gotcha. And wait, did you say you're able to financially support them getting therapy?
Oh, we pay for all their therapy. Their therapy's free.
Oh my God, that is a huge deal.
I know. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you.
I was like, did she say what I just thought she said?
Like, I mean, I'm making it seem a lot easier than it is. Like, I, you know, I've been working tirelessly at this for, a long time. But yes, and Tony, thank goodness for her and right. just the therapists that service our survivors.
Sure.
But yes, we pay for therapy. For all of our services are free.
Okay.
To all survivors in all 50 states. Uh-huh. Like, you know, we can't emphasize that enough, right?
This is really, really impressive.
Oh, thank you.
And I don't know if this is something you would know about it, or, it, you know, if you're a therapist or have you heard of. I've heard a lot of people talk about EMDR in relation to
yes,
trauma therapy.
Yes, that is a form of trauma therapy. Yes, okay. It's all about eye movement uh-huh. and recognition and uh-huh. it all works well together.
Okay.
And it can be a form of therapy. Some uh-huh. people do need it. It works for others, but some it doesn't. I was one of them that didn't need EMDR.
Okay.
It wasn't a good fit for me personally, right. but right. try it. And that's the thing. You know, you never know until you try.
Gotcha.
But there's all different. So we get them evaluated at the highest tier. So trauma uh-huh. therapy that has its own certification. They'll recognize if someone's in crisis or needing trauma support. If they don't, they can do traditional talk therapy with them, but they have the fullest licensure. So we want to make sure that we're getting them evaluated the right way.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. I love yeah. this. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. And then what about, you also have coping care packages. So what is that?
We do. Mm-hmm. We do. We used to do these in-house and actually we just started a collaboration with Alien Action.
Yes. I've had her on the podcast as well.
Oh, Liz, isn't she fabulous? Yes. Shout out to you, Liz. So she already is doing all of the self-care uh-huh. and coping care packages uh-huh. in hospitals and things like that. So it's just been a wonderful fit for us because we don't have to handle them and she's already nationwide too.
Yep.
So it's just a perfect fit for us. Uh-huh. So couldn't ask for a better collaboration on that.
I love that.
Yeah. That just came this year. So we're so excited about that.
That's awesome. Yeah. And it's just a beautiful, like, people working together to help service this population.
It says synergy mm-hmm. and energy. And she's already, you know, we have two missions, two organizations, mm-hmm. but one common goal.
Yep.
And it really is providing a holistic approach. And so we weren't able to continue to do the care packages because it was getting too much. It was very overwhelming.
Right.
And
right.
so we found her through a mutual connection. Uh-huh. And it was just such a perfect
fit for us. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And then you also offer things to help with what you say is nervous system regulation. So yoga, breathwork, meditation. Why is that?
Yes. So for me, you know, I couldn't meditate. Running's my form uh-huh. of meditation. Uh-huh. However, though, a lot of survivors were asking for meditation, nervous system regulation, and yoga because there really wasn't anything specific to these types of losses.
Right.
A lot of things out there that's recorded really deals with moving on and letting go. And that's really not what baby loss is. It's about processing, sitting with, being with, living with.
Mm-hmm.
And so we developed our own with a trauma yoga instructor. And we did it where we have videos and then also live monthly sessions so they can jump in because we are trying to do that holistic approach.
Right.
And also taking care of, you know, your physical health is so important uh-huh. after loss.
Absolutely.
So if we can give survivors that outlet or they can access videos when a support group isn't happening or they don't want to talk to a mentor, they don't, you know, want to reach out to us on our online community. Like it's just a way for them to, find something else.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And speaking of online, what are your online groups?
Oh, yeah.
You say you have online groups.
Oh, mm-hmm. yes. So we have online private community where outside of group and mentorship, they can all get in together on Facebook. It is private, like we said, you know, mm-hmm. you go through the registration process,
sure.
but they get in there and they talk and it's really about just coming together and uniting all of us across the nation. Mm-hmm. So Yeah. All of us just talking about things that are right. happening in our lives or right. things we're experiencing.
Right. Got it. Yeah. Got it. And then your podcast, that's the last thing.
Right. Yeah. Or Cried Out Loud, it's mm-hmm. called. It's on all major platforms, but it's all about living after these traumatic losses and what that looks like and, you know, parenting after loss or if mm-hmm. someone's on a primary infertility journey, just different things that you're dealing with these reproductive traumas.
Right.
And just right. really having the community behind you and just hearing, you know, just different things that we don't think about or know or until right. we become a baby loss survivor.
Yeah. I mean, these are an amazing resources, and to be a nonprofit, this is just, I mean, I feel like this is something that everyone, like every hospital needs to know about these types of resources.
I know. Thank you, Nicole. Yes. yes. I mean, and it's interesting, you know, just, yeah, we'll get into it, I'm uh-huh. sure. But that is one of our biggest struggles uh-huh. is we don't have the time to do all the outreach because, you know, we're trying to chase down like doctors, OBs
right.
outside of the hospitals and then the hospitals in and of themselves and navigating that.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, it's just we try our best to get out there because we really can. Survivors are finding us at 2 a.m. Google
right.
searching,
right.
you know, support.
Right.
And some organizations are saying that they're doing different things, but they're just not able to get connected quickly. Uh-huh. So it's, you know, we just want to make sure we are getting them the connection and
yeah.
support that they need when they need it and seek it.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
So, well, let's talk about the healthcare system. I do want to, yeah. I take these opportunities of the podcast, you know, obviously I'm sharing information, but I like to learn things for myself as well. So what are wow. some things that you've noticed within the healthcare system that you feel like we get wrong surrounding
wow,
pregnancy and
yes.
infant loss? Yeah.
Yes. And please, you know, take this, but we do hear this commonality mm-hmm. within our support groups, uh-huh. you know, from the thousands of survivors mm-hmm. we're supporting. But yeah, you know, trauma does start the moment that there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So every person that they interact with, everybody on the medical team, the whole way along the process of whatever that kind of looks like,
right.
we hear a lot of times that they aren't offering trauma-informed care
okay.
necessarily. Like they're not really taking that part into effect.
Right.
It's more about, you know, making sure that if the baby passed, that the baby's out of the mom and the mom's recovering and that's uh-huh. about it. And, you know, not really giving them resources or feeling like they can talk to the medical providing team.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be the team's 10th loss of the day, but that's that person's only loss.
Sure.
And then in that moment. So I think remembering that and just taking those couple minutes to sit with them while they cry
mm-hmm.
or hold their hand if they allow you to
mm-hmm.
and just be there and not try to say, well, like you can always have other children mm-hmm. medically because you can because it looks fine for you too.
Right.
Don't say that in that moment,
yeah.
you know, because they're hearing then you're saying like another replacement baby. This will replace it, and it doesn't. You know, it's an addition to.
Sure.
So it's like
sure.
those kind of things.
Yeah.
You know, another thing is reading the chart and knowing that they've had a previous loss before you meet with them.
Okay.
That's one of the biggest ones that we get. Feeling like there's no sense of connection to your provider because they're not talking about your loss or mentioning it,
uh-huh.
and finding out how you're doing.
Right.
And you know, that's really hard. Also, having a separate waiting room or scheduling times mm-hmm. for those that are going through loss versus those that are actively pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not about making it that it's about cushioning or like really going out of your way to make somebody feel this way. It's just offering that trauma-informed care. Like
mm-hmm.
take the clients in the morning who might be going through loss and then after lunch, taking the clients in the afternoon who are going, you know, active pregnancies. Like it's
right.
making little changes like that. But it's also making that patient feel like they don't need to switch OBGYN offices then because a lot of times we do. We switch mm-hmm. hospitals or OBs because our loss happened there and that's very triggering for us.
Mm-hmm.
So by creating this space or doing something more for them, like that really makes you feel that trusting and security that you need after a trauma.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
Then, yeah, also, you know, going through delivery at the hospital mm-hmm. and your baby didn't make it, mm-hmm. it's just having a warning or a notice on their door and maybe having them in a separate wing where they're not close to babies crying
yeah.
and hearing, you know, families with their babies or seeing them walk the halls with their
yeah.
children.
Yeah.
It's those little things that are so big in those moments
right.
That we try to really talk to, you know, our medical providers mm-hmm. about.
Yeah. All of yeah. those things make sense for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Thanks. Thanks, Nicole, for asking.
My girls are 14 and 16, and back in the day when they were born, it was not easy to share photos and videos with loved ones, but now you have a fantastic option available, the Family Album app. The Family Album app was created in 2015 and has operated over the long term to give parents a secure and easy way to share photos and videos with loved ones. It's a totally secure personal haven for your family's memories. I love that it's private with no unwanted eyes. Now let me share some of the great features that make Family Album a go-to app. First off, the app automatically sorts photos and videos by month, allowing you to swipe back in time and see how your child has grown. No more scrolling through endless feeds or searching through folders. Another cool feature of the Family Album app that I love is that you can order 11 free photo prints every month to be delivered to your home starting in August. It's really nice to have some tangible pictures to hold onto or share to document each month of your baby's life. Plus, the Family Album app has unlimited storage and it is totally free. Yes, you heard that right. No more worrying about running out of space when you're just trying to relive those heartwarming moments. So if you're still trying to use other messaging apps for your kids' photos, it is time to level up your family photo game with a free photo sharing app. Head over to the App Store today, search Family Album, it's all one word, download the app, and start creating a legacy of love one photo at a time. So what are some things that like people, family members can do to support someone they know who has experienced a pregnancy or infant loss? So what can they do to support? And then we'll also ask on the flip side, what are some things that they absolutely should not do?
Oh, that's good. Yes, I love this. So when I would say top three things to support is doing reach outs, you know, just doing a weekly check-in through text message or a phone call and telling them that they don't even need to respond, that you're just thinking of them, you know, what they're going through is traumatic or devastating, that you're just there for them, you know, as a listening ear. Also, you know, just suggesting going for a walk together or just sitting with them to watch a movie in their house.
Right. Those are things. Right.
The weekly check-ins are the greatest though. And also, you know, getting them DoorDash gift cards, because I know some people want to feel like they want to give them something.
Right.
You know, meals are great too if someone wants to start a meal train. But those DoorDash gift cards, then they can figure out where they want to eat and just DoorDash food in and not have to leave the house.
Right.
But just realizing that don't make them feel obligated to, you know, need to interact if they don't want to, but just being there. And really just as a listening ear.
Yeah.
It's most important.
Yeah. And I think sometimes people feel like they don't know what to say or
do.
You can even say that. Like, I'm not sure the right thing to say, but I just want to let you know that I'm thinking about you. Like, you know, it doesn't
exactly
have to be.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Just you could say that exact thing. And it's like, thank you. Thank you for at least trying or thank you for reaching out and thinking of me. Like, it just means the world when you feel like yours is crumbling down.
Yeah.
All around you.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah. So what are some things people should not do?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I know. Yes. I know one at least you're going to say.
But. I know. I think that everything happens for a reason was really hard to hear because sometimes there are no reasons.
Yeah.
And I even catch myself doing it. So something that like I started to do, you know, sometimes things happen and you just can't explain it. And this is one of those times.
Right.
And that's how I pivot it.
Right.
Because it's like, don't say that. That's one of the, because what's the reasoning for my child passing away?
Yeah.
There is none.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Also that this is God's plan. And it's not that people don't believe in a higher power or people do cling to their higher power more when they're going through loss and things like that, but that's for them to decide. And honestly, I struggled really hard with like, why would my higher power do this to me? You know, after we go through loss and we find out some survivors are just like that too. And so you don't know where someone's at spiritually or what they believe in. So that just is not helpful either. And then also like you can have more children and that's, you know, it's like babies don't replace babies. And this is the only type of loss, you know, if someone loses a parent or a grandparent, they don't say like, at least you have your other parent. This is the only type of loss that someone, someone says to you, you can have another baby. It's like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Like, so I actually started like in a very polite manner, like when people say that to me, or have said it, I say, okay, that's basically saying like, our three living children, if we lose one of them, or if you lose one of your four children or five children, however many you have, you know, then like you're okay because you have the other four. Like you're not at all sad.
Yeah.
Like that's basically what you're saying. And it's just like understanding, I think, the language and what that actually means when you're saying it.
Right.
And these were all candid expressions with great intentions. And people try their best. They want to take the pain away from you when they're seeing you cry. But crying is natural for grief.
Yeah.
And I'm not uncomfortable crying in front of people over Brock. Yeah. It's normal. I'm going to be the rest of my life probably because I'm missing one of my children. But I mean, it's okay. You don't need to say anything toxic positive just because I'm crying. I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I think people mean well and they just, yes, like you
great
said,
intention.
They just don't, you have to help them think through like that doesn't make sense. And it's actually,
that's
hurtful.
Exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right. Cause it's about the, you know, loss survivors who come after me. It's like, please don't say that to them. Mm-hmm. You know, if you approach somebody else, try this instead or something. And it really is a learning experience because I can't say I maybe didn't say some of these things in my earlier days when I had friends going through it. Right. So it's hard to know what to do.
Yeah.
Great intentions.
And then what are some things that you find, I don't know if I put this in the questions, but it just kind of popped up.
Yeah.
When people get to the pregnancy after a loss, like what are some things that you see there?
Oh my goodness. Right. So one is the chart reading is huge. Okay. Like, you know, they have to keep re-explaining their story each time they're going into their provider, if they're seeing a different doctor. Because normally if you're in a practice with several doctors, they want you to meet with all of them when you're pregnant because who knows who's going to deliver you if it's a spontaneous delivery. Right. And so, you know, I think that's one of the hardest things. I think also providers understanding the anxiety behind it. You know, something that was beautiful with my pregnancy after loss and, you know, my doctor said to me was, you know, this is our job. We're here for you. We're only with you maybe 4 hours out of the month if you have a once a week appointment. So that's how many other hours that are in that month that we're not with you and seeing what's happening. So please just come in and get checked when you need to be checked, and for peace of mind for us and peace of mind for you, because we'll never have 100% answers of what happened.
Right.
And that was huge because you almost feel crazy and like an inconvenience that you keep calling and going in to get checked when in all reality, we're not going to have answers. And we already are very uncertain about our bodies because we're living now with all these triggers. Our bodies have failed us, we feel like. Right. And so like, is this going to happen again? Because we're already one of those numbers. So are we going to become another statistic? And so it really is about getting that compassionate care and a provider not feeling, making you feel crazy for calling in again.
Definitely.
You know, kind of thing.
For sure. So then as we wrap up, and these are questions that I ask everybody, what is the most frustrating part of your work?
It is trying to get in touch with as many doctors as we can and provide, well, all medical providers who are in this space, fertility clinics, because we really just want our services to be with survivors as they're going through their loss and they're not leaving without knowing us. Just to alleviate that 2 a.m. reach out when they're desperate. And it's so heartbreaking when we finally get them. So I think that's one of the most frustrating parts. And then the other is, you know, I think with the hospital setting, sometimes when people are going through their losses, is just hearing what's being told to them or, you know, how they're being treated in those moments. And it is, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah, I can imagine. So then on the flip side, what's the most rewarding part of your work?
Oh, my goodness. I think it really is repurposing my pain and honoring our daughter. It's a way that I can give back to others so they don't have to feel that lonely and isolation feeling like most of us have at one point or another. And I think it is really, too, just really all coming together and having that sense of community and feeling like we're validated, heard, and seen in a safe space. Uniting all baby loss survivors. So that really does just like gives me some purpose behind my pain.
Definitely. So then what is your favorite piece of advice that you would like to give related to pregnancy and loss, whether it's to a survivor, whether it's to, what's your favorite piece of information?
That's great. I would say, you know, everybody's trauma and grief journey is so different, but we all share the same kind of feelings, emotions, and life-changing experience as we're living after becoming a lost parent. So it's just so important to connect with your community of baby loss survivors, but also to really get the support and comfort needed to continue living without our children here with us. So not minimizing someone's pain, not allowing them to feel validated, seen, and heard. You know, those are all things that are so important after baby loss. So just finding that and seeking it.
So where can people find you and all of the resources that you offer?
So it's easiest to get people connected to services or connected to volunteering if they go to chasingtherainbows.org and they write in on our website. But they can also find us on Instagram at Chasing the Rainbows Inc. But all of our links are on our website, though. It's the easiest way to find us.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much, Bernice, for coming on and sharing these important resources that I hope people don't need. But if they need them, then you have created such a wonderful platform to serve this population.
Oh, thanks so much, Nicole. And that's what we say. You know, it's so heartbreaking whenever we have a survivor come to us, but mm-hmm. we're just grateful that they found us and we can just wrap everything we can around them.
Wasn't that a great episode? I so admire how Bernice has taken her pain and turned it into something that has been so helpful for so many in such a difficult life stage. Now, after every episode, when I have a guest on, I do something called Dr. Nicole's Notes about my takeaways from the conversation. Here are my Dr. Nicole's Notes from my conversation with Bernice, and they're really pretty short today. So the first one is, I want you to know about another episode I have related to stillbirth, and that is with Aaliyah in Action. She mentioned it in the episode that they have partnered with Aaliyah in Action in order to do care packages, and they do these really great self-care packages for the mom after stillbirth or infant loss. You can listen to that episode with Elizabeth O'Donnell, the founder of Aaliyah in Action. That's drnicolerankins.com/episode227. And we will link that in the show notes. And the other thing, and it's just really important for you to hear, if you have experienced pregnancy or infant loss, you are not alone. You don't have to be alone. It can feel very isolating because this is not something that is talked about a lot in mainstream media and culture. I do believe we're getting better at discussing it and understanding and realizing that, unfortunately, it is a very common part of people's journey to being parents and life experience. But know that you are not alone. You don't have to be alone. You can reach out to Chasing the Rainbows to get resources. Another place, a great place where you can get resources, is Postpartum Support International. So please, please know that you are not alone. You don't have to stay alone during this difficult journey. All right, so there you have it. Please share this podcast with a friend if you think it's something that they may benefit from, or share the resources with a friend for sure. Also, please subscribe to the podcast in Apple Podcast or wherever you are listening to me right now. And I would love to hear what you think about the podcast or any thoughts you have about the episode or the show in general. Come find me over on Instagram. I'm on Instagram at Dr. Nicole Rankins. While you're there, go ahead and hit that follow button because you can get great information about pregnancy and birth as well. So that is it for this episode. Do come on back next week and remember that you deserve a beautiful pregnancy and birth.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.